Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Kuf Dalad, the second to last daf in Maseches Erevin. We left off in daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. We just read the Mishnah quickly yesterday in the middle of the page on Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. So we're going to start with that, the Mishnah about bandaging a wound on Shabbos. And that Mishnah is going to lead us into a discussion of chatzitza in general, and then the Mishnah that we're gonna have today on Kuf Dalad Amud Aleph is gonna talk about putting salt or straw on a slippery surface on Shabbos, both inside the Beis Hamikdash, outside the Beis Hamikdash. Again, continuing in the theme of things that are different in the Mikdash and outside of the Mikdash. And then we're gonna be mechadish. Rabbi's gonna be mechadish that you're allowed to make sounds that aren't musical in nature, and the Gemara challenges Rabbi four times, the last of which is from our Mishnah. So that's why this comes up over here, but that's the sugya of making noise on Shabbos of Hashma'as Kol. Is only musical noise aser or any kind of noise? This is the basic sugya for that topic. And then the last mission in the Masechta appears on Amud Beis today. It discusses how to remove a sheretz that was found in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. And the Gemara discusses, because the sheretz not only is it tamei, so it has to be removed from the Beis Hamikdash, but you have a problem because it's muktzah. So how do you remove it on Shabbos? And the Gemara discusses whether it's aser mida Raiso or only Yasim Midrabanan to have a sheretz in the Beis Hamikdash in the first place. Intuitively, we would think it's Asim Midar Raisa, because even a Tamei person cannot be in the Beis Hamikdash, and even a person who's less than an Av Hatuma, and a sheretz is an Av Hatuma, you would think for sure, but it's a Machlokas in the Gemara. We'll see whether it's an Issa Dar Raisa or an Issa Drabanan. So let's read again the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Kohen Shalaka Bet Bo. If a Kohen has an injury on his finger, Korech Ale Gemi B'Mikdash, he could put a reed around it as a band-aid in the Mikdash, Avalob Medina, but not in the Medina. Imla Hotzi Dam Kan Vikan Aser. But if his intention is to draw blood out, then it's going to be Aser, both in the Mikdash as well as in the as well as in the Medina. Now Rashi says that the way that it's Aser is if you're Mahadik the Gemi Kedei Lahotzi Adam. You attach it really well, you tie it tight in order to be Motzi the Dam. In Masech Zvachim, however, Rashi says, if you're miskaving lahotzi dam aser. So what does im lahotzi dam mean? Is that a state of mind, or is it a way of attaching the gemi? Rashi over here seems to say it's a way of attaching the gemi, that you attach it really well, you tie it really tight, whereas in Zvachim he seems to say that it's totally in a person's das. The Magen Avraham in Simen Shin Chav Ches asks that Rashi seems to be sosur himself, because again, over here it sounds like it's a maisa that you're doing of tying it really tight, but when you put something that's Moshech the Dam on its own, it would not be Asur Midar Raisa, whereas Rashi in Zvachim sounds like it's all about Kavana. If your Kavana is blood removal, whether you're doing a significant Maisa or not doing a significant Maisa, it would be included in the Yisur Dar Raisa. So the Nafkamina would be, if it's Asur to take the, what he calls Hasheretz HaMoshech HaSadam Hanikra Aloka, some type of creature, some type of bug, of insect that sucks out the dam. So he's trying to dafka put it there to suck out the dam. So is that going to be aser? It's not a maisa in a significant way where you're actually attaching anything very well. But if it's a din in kavana, then it would be a problem, because that's his whole kavana in putting this item there. So Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Chiya says the whole Isser is only by a Gemi, the whole Heta rather, is only by a Gemi, meaning our Mishnah says you're allowed to, in the Migdash, tie a Gemi on the wound. So yes, to tie a reed on the wound is fine, but a Tziltzel Katan, like a small belt, is a violation of Yisur Begadim. It's considered to be an extra Beged on the Big Day Kahuna, and therefore it's problematic. Rav Yochanan Amar, the violation of the Yisur Begadim is only when you have an extra beged in the spot where you're supposed to be wearing normal Big Day Kuna. But if he has something on his finger, let's say, where you don't normally, the Kohen doesn't wear gloves, Kohen's not allowed to wear gloves, it shows it's a bizayin to the Avoda if he shows that he's not interested in getting his hands dirty. So if Kohen doesn't wear gloves, so that's not going to be a violation of Yisur Begadim. So Frek the Gemara, yeah, it may not be a violation of Yisur Begadim, but it should be another violation. V'tepikle mishum chatzitza. Isn't it going to be chatzitza if he has a band-aid on his hand while he's trying to do the avoda, isn't the band-aid going to be a chatzitza? So answer the Gemara, b'smol. Maybe he has the band-aid on his left hand, he's doing the avoda with his right hand, so it's not going to be a chatzitza, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan is coming to teach me, it's not going to be a problem of yisur begadim either, because it's not on the spot where he normally has begadim. So inami be yamin v'shalo b'makom avoda. Or it could be on the right hand, but on a spot where he doesn't come into direct contact with anything that needs to be avoda, on the back of his hand, let's say. So it's not going to be a problem of chatzitza. Upliga de Rava, but this is against Rava. Da'amar Rava Amar Chista, b'makom begadim afilu nima achas chotzetzas. If it's a place where you have the big day kuluna, then even a single small strand is going to be a chatzitza, even something of no size at all. Shalom b'makom begadim shalosh al shalosh chotzetzot, pachos mishalosh al shalosh einu chotzetzot. But if it's not in the makom begadim, then a sizable thing is going to be a chatzitza, but something that's not a sizable thing is not going to be a chatzitza. If you look at Rashi, pachos migim lein chotzetzot, da'aydi de'lo chashiv beged, Yisr begadim ein kan. What it means to say in chotzos is that it's not yisr begadim when it's very small and it's not b'makom begadim. The lav beged hu v'chatzita nami ein kan the shalob b'makom begadim hu v'shalob b'makom avoda. It's not a chatzita if it's not b'makom begadim because it's not interposing between his skin and his big day kuhuna, and as long as it's not a part of his body that he needs to touch anything that he's doing the avoda with, it's not going to be chatzitza in the avoda either. In terms of yisur begadim, Rava is teaching us yisur begadim requires a certain size. If it's less than a sheer beged, it's not going to be yisur begadim. So ad Rabbi Yochanan vaday pliga. So certainly this is against Rabbi Yochanan. Rava certainly disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan because shalom makom begadim. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't consider anything to be a chatzitz, even if it's very big. Whereas Rava says shalom makom begadim. If it's 3x3, then it is going to be a problem. Even shalom makom begadim is going to be a violation of yisur begadim. So Rava and Rabbi Yochanan are clearly not seeing eye to eye on this. Ad Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rav Chiya mean name a pliga. But the question is, does Rava also argue on the initial statement of Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rav Chiya that said that a tziltzul katan is yisur begadim? When Rava said shalom makom begadim, less than three is not a chatzitza, but the initial statement of Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rav Chiya was that a tziltzul katan is a chatzitza, even though l'chorei tziltzul katan is less than 3x3. So is that a machlokes? Shiny tziltzul katan the chashiv? Not necessarily. The reason Rava comes up with this number of 3x3 is because that's the size of a beged that's chashiv. That's what gives it chashivos. Less than 3x3, it's not considered a chashiv a beged. So comes along. Rav Yehuda b'Rei Rav Chiya says a tziltzul katan, even though it's very small, but because it's this little belt and it's made like a davar chashuv, so it could be a davar chashuv even if it's a smaller size. Now we had this statement that of Rabbi Yochanan of Rava. Who was it? That afilu nima achas. That Rava, that b'makom begadim, afilu nima achas chotzetzas. That even a single strand, even the tiniest thing, is going to be a chatzitza. So this bothered all the achronim. How could it be a chatzitza if it's a very tiny strand? You have one thread that's out of place, that doesn't belong, and that's going to be a chatzitza b'makom begadim. We know something about the halachos of chatzitza. We already had halachos of chatzitza earlier in the Masechta, the very beginning on Daf Dalet. I realized when I put together that list of sugyas that we have that aren't really Erevin related sugyas in the Masechta, I forgot that one. The first one I came up with was Daf Yud Gimel. Daf Dalet, you have a chatzitza. Chatzitza is a very critical sugya, nothing to do with Erevin really. But the din of chatzitza, we know what the halacha is. Midah Raisa, in order for something to be a chatzitza, when it comes, let's say, to going to the mikveh. So what kind of thing needs to be on a person's body for it to be a chatzitza in the mikveh? So it has to be rubo makbid. It has to be something that covers the majority of the body, and that your makbid, you dafka, don't want it there. Midrabanan, miut she'eno makbid, or a rubo, I'm sorry, a miura makbid, or a rubo she'eno makbid. If you have either or a rove of your body, or it's something you're makbid on, that would be chatzisa midrabanan. What if it's a miyachain or makbid, it's on the minority of your body and you're not makbid about it at all, you don't care at all? A woman says after she comes back from the mikvah, I found that if I look really closely, a tiny speck of nail polish on one of my fingernails, so that we assume people are not makbid about it. If she had gone out like that all day, no, she would not be embarrassed when she comes home. Oh my gosh, people saw me like this. It's something that no one even notices. So that's, it's a miyut, it's ain't a makbid, it's not a chatzitz at all. We try to remove everything when we go to the mikveh. That's a minhag, the Rama quotes, but it's a mekra din, it's not makbid at all. The same is true by tevilas kelim. People come back from the kelim mikveh and they find that there's a thing, there's a sticker on the bottom of the kli that they forgot to remove. So the question, it's on a miyut. So the question to ask is it the type of thing that if you were to serve with a lot of company in that dish, you'd be embarrassed afterwards? Oh my gosh, I left the sticker on. That's so embarrassing. So, or is it not so embarrassing? Is it on a part of the kli where it's just that you can barely see it? It's a see-through sticker. It's not even... So if it's a mira makbid, then it's a problem. If it's eino makbid, it's not a problem. So the Achronim will ask, why do we say over here that nima achas, that a single strand between the basra and the begad is chotzeitz, by, we learned before in Daf Dalim, midor raisa, only when you have rove, it's chotzeitz, and you're makbid when it's both rove and makbid, you're chotzeitz. And nima is only a miut, and it's eino makbid, so it's not a chatzitza at all. So the Achronim work on this kasha. The Chassam Sofer says that it could be that the din in Arasugya really does conform to dinei tefillah in the mikvah, that a miut ha-makbid is chotzeitz midrabanan, and when we say that a nima is chotzeitz, it's only midrabanan, and we're talking about where you're makbid about it, where you don't want it there. And with that which it says of adaso psula, that means only midrabanan, that the chachamim have the right to say that even though midar raisa, you had a perfectly valid avoda, the rabbanan have the right to say that since you had a chatzitza midrabanan, that invalidates the avoda midrabanan. The netziv in Merome Sada is mitarets that the tevila, by tevila, the fact that that only rubo amakbid is chotzeitz is a din of halacha l'moshe Sinai. The Gemara in Sugah Daf Hey refers to chatzitzin. Shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin are halacha l'moshe Sinai. So the Gemara goes through what are shiurin, what are mechitzin. So there are several halachas l'moshe Sinai about mechitzin, about mechitzos. That's what Masach Zerivin was really about. But chatzitzin is also halacha l'moshe Sinai. What does that mean? That the whole din of rubo amakbid is halacha l'moshe Sinai. And if we didn't have the halacha l'moshe Sinai, so then what would we assume? Would we assume that there's no problem of chatzitza at all? It says no. What we would have assumed without the halacha l'moshe Sinai is that everything, anything, and everything is chatzitza. But the halacha l'moshe Sinai comes to tell us that only rubo makbid is chatzitza. It's a kula. The Rosh has such a klal in Baba Kama that halacha l'moshe Sinai always has to tell me a kula. You can't have halacha l'moshe Sinai coming to tell me a chumra. So halacha l'moshe Sinai is being makil that I would have thought anything is a chatzitza. Halacha l'moshe Sinai tells me rubo makbid. Where does the halacha l'moshe Sinai teach me that? By tevila, by dinei tevila b'mikvah, but not by other places where we have a din of chatzitza, and therefore everywhere else that we have a din of chatzitza, the whole din of rubo makbid doesn't apply. Gevaldik achidish, the Netziv says. So when it comes to chatzitza in your begadim, in the big day kahuna, rubo makbid is not going to be an issue. Even miyachaino makbid is a chatzitza. L'choru would turn out according to the Netziv. Where else do we have chatzitza that's not by tevila? By tefillin. You're not supposed to have a davar chotzeitz between the tefillin and one's body. So what if it's something that's miyachain or makbid? Is that going to be a chatzitza l'chora, according to the netziv? Yes, that's going to be a chatzitza because we don't have that chiddush of the halacha l'moshe Sinai. So that is the chiddush of the netziv. Let's see further in the Gemara. So the Lishna Akrina, another version of this same discussion, it just changes one of the authors over here, that Lishna Akrina Amrila, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bereda Rabbi Chia, Loshanu Ela Gemi Aval Tzilzul Katan Chotzeitz. That when we said in the Mishnah, you're allowed to put a Band-Aid on, that's only a Gemi in the Beis HaMikdash, but a Tzilzul Katan, you're not allowed to put on, it's Chotzeitz. Now in the first version, Rabbi Yehuda Bereda Rabbi Chia said, Aval Tzilzul Katan Avi Yisur Begadim, Rashi points out that's what he means over here also. What's different about this Lishna Achrina is not this line. You know, over here, when he says chotzeitz, it means Yisur Begadim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Amru Chatzitza Bepachus Mishalosh Al Shalosh Ela B'Makom Begadim. Rabbi Yochanan says that a chatzitza with something that's less than 3x3 is only a problem B'Makom Begadim. Aval Shalo B'Makom Begadim Shalosh Al Shalosh Chotzitz Pachus Mishalosh Ein Chotzitz. Now here's what changes. instead of Rabbi Yochanan in this version saying that Yisur Begadim is only a problem B'makom Begadim, but Shalom B'makom Begadim, there's no problem Yisur Begadim at all, Rabbi Yochanan over here says it depends, Shalom B'makom Begadim. It depends if it's 3x3 or not. Meaning, what we had from Rava in the first version of the conversation, we now have from Rabbi Yochanan in the second version of the conversation. So says Gemara, Lema Pliga de Rabbi Yudah Brei de Rabbi Chiyah, shall we suggest, just like we said about Rava in the first version, shall we suggest that Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rabbi Yudah Brei de Rabbi Chiyah, who thinks that even a tziltzil katan is a problem, even though it's less than shalosh al shalosh? No, shiny tziltzil katan de chashuv. Same thing we said before, tziltzil katan, even though it's very small, but it is chashuv. Rabbi Yochanan ad ashmi'inan gemi, lashmi'inan tziltzil katan. So Rabbi Yochanan, instead of telling us, when Rabbi Yochanan said that a tziltzil katan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, holds that a tziltzil katan is mutter, instead of telling us about a gemi being, instead of the Mishnah saying that a gemi is mutter, if a tziltzil katan is mutter also, why doesn't the Mishnah tell me the greater chiddush? That not only are you allowed to tie a reed on the wound in the base of Mikdash, you can even tie a small belt on it. So milsa gavorche kamashmulin, the gemi masi. The Mishnah tries to give us helpful hints for life in a matter-of-fact fashion. So the Mishnah wants to tell us what's good to use as a band-aid. So if it would have said a tziltzil katan, so you would not have known that a gemi is actually a good thing to use for a band-aid. So it tells me about a gemi, even though in a kanami it's a little bit less of a chiddush than the chiddush that you're allowed to use a tziltzil katan. Now, what if a person has a chatzitza, what if a kohen has a chatzitza between his bigdei kuna and his body at the time that he does the avoda? So that's bad. It's chatzitza, it's problematic. How problematic is it? Does it ruin the avoda, or is it just that he did an isser? He didn't have proper big day kuna. So minchas chinuch mitzvah tzadi tes os tes zayin says if a person was oved and he had a chatzitza ben besaro the big day kuna, it's as if he was oved beli begadim and he's chayv misa bidei shemayim. It's as if he wasn't wearing his big day kuna at the time of the avoda. He's chayv misa bidei shemayim. Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horovitz in Maseches Zvachim says that it seems that he's not chayv misa for yisur begadim if he was oved with a chatzitza, because zayin derech avoda b'kach, he doesn't think that one is chayiv misa. Karen Ora is medayik from the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Klei Migdash Parak Yud Halacha Heith Ruches seems like he says that this is not a din of mechusar begadim. It's a separate psul. It's a different psul, and therefore you're not chayiv misa. However, in Hilchos Pias Migdash, in the ninth paragraph of Hilchos Pias Migdash, the Rambam sounds like he says otherwise, because he goes through the psulei avoda, and amongst the psulei avoda, he talks about a kohen who's oved mechusar begadim, or he's biyisur begadim, or he has a chatzitza ben yada l'kli, but he does not mention chatzitza ben beged l'gufo. So it sounds like it's included, ben beged l'gufo is already included in the psul of mechusar begadim. So if it's already included in the psul of mechusar begadim, then you are chayv misafir. Meaning when the Ram goes through all of the wardrobe problems that the kohen might have, he never mentions chatzitza between the beged and the person. But that's obviously a problem. The Gemara all over talks about that as a problem. Elamai, the Rambam must have assumed that that's subsumed under the category of mechusar begadim. Well, if it's under the category of mechusar begadim, then you're chayv misa for it. So it sounds from that Rambam that one is chayv misa for doing the avoda with a chatzitza between his begadim and his body. Okay, new Mishnah. Bozkin melach al gabe kevesh b'shvil shalo yachliku. That we can spread out some salt on the ramp of the mizbeach so that people don't slip. The ramp could get very slippery. You have to realize the mizbeach was outdoors, so it could rain, it could be slippery, there could be fats of animals all over, so it could be very slippery. And so we have to spread some, so you're allowed to spread some salt down on the ramp so that people don't slip. Umimalin mi baragol mi baragadol begilgal b'shabbos umi be'erakar b'yom tov. We're allowed to draw water from the two wells that they use in the Beis HaMikdash using a wheel on Shabbos to draw the water. We'll get to that later on in the Gemara, what the Be'er HaKar is specifically. So Rami le Ravika mi pashrunya le Rava. So Ravika mi pashrunya asked the following stira to Rava. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, Boskin Melech al Gabi Akevish Bishvil Shaliach Liku, that you're allowed to spread out some salt on the ramp so that people don't slip. B'Migdashin B'Medina Lo. Sounds like, yeah, you could do this. This is in the series of Mishnayos that are all about special heterim that we have in the Migdash that we don't allow anywhere else. So it seems that this is a din. In the Migdash, it's not a din B'Medina. You're not allowed to spread out salt B'Medina. Uramini, but I'll ask you, Stira, Chatzer Shin Eskalkala B'Meme B'Gshamim. If you have a chatzer that it rained in and therefore it's all messed up, maybe tevin umaradaba, you're allowed to bring tevin, you're allowed to bring straw and spread it out to make the floor nice. So isn't that the same thing as spreading salt on the kevesh? So why is it by the kevesh of the mizbeach? We said only b'mikdash is okay, b'medina it's not okay. You're allowed to spread out straw apparently, even b'medina. Says Gemara, shiny tevin de la mevatale. Tevin is different because you're not mevatale it there, you don't plan on leaving it there forever. So that's why you're allowed to do it. Doesn't mean you're not being mosif al abinyan. It's not a violation of bona. You're not being mashve gumos or mosif al abinyan, whatever the violation might be, by leaving it there. Amle ravacha breid rav le ravashi. Hay melech hechidami. Well, what's the case exactly of the salt that we're talking about that you're spreading in the Beis HaMikdash? Idem mevatle kamosif abinyan. If it's you're being mevatlet, so then you're being mosif on the binyan. Viidaloka mevatle kavi chatzitza. And if you're not being mevatlet, well then isn't it going to be a chatzitza? Remember, everyone's barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash. There's not even allowed to be a chatzitza between the bottom of your feet and the Mizbeach. So, manavshuch, when you put salt down, if you're mevatalit, you're adding to the actual Mizbeach, and you're not allowed to do that. If you're not putting, if you're not being mevatalit, then you have a foreign substance in between your feet and the ramp. So, says Gemar, ba'alacha se'varim lekevesh delav avodahi. Maybe we're talking about when you're carrying the evarim, the limbs of the animal, up the ramp, that's not really part of an avoda, and therefore, enochinami, it is a chatzitza, it's okay, you're allowed to have a chatzitza for that part because it's not really avoda. V'lo v'aksi v'hikra v'akoyin es hakol v'hikter mizbecha v'amar mar zuei loch sevarim lekevesh. How can you say it's not an avoda? The pasuk talks about being makrivis hakol v'hikter mizbecha, and we say that's referring to bringing the limbs up the mizbech. Ele'ema v'alachas etzim l'maracha d'lav avodahi. No, we're not talking about bringing the limbs. What we're talking about is bringing the etzim to the ma'aracha, bringing the wood that uses to keep the fires going up on the top of the Mizbeach, that bring that up the Mizbeach is not called an avoda, and therefore if you're worried about slipping while you're carrying the wood up, that's where you're allowed to put the salt down, not be mevatalit, and it's totally fine, it's not going to be a problem of chatzitza. Now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira that the Midos HaMizbeach are mechuvanos, are very precise, very exact, and the Tzuraso Yadua Ish Me Ish Ve'ein Lahosif Al Midos of when it comes to the measurements of the Mizbeach, it has to be precise, it has to be exact. One cannot add or take away from it at all. However, further on in the second paragraph of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam writes that Midas Archo, Midas Rachbo, Midas Kamaso, the length, the width, the height of the Mizbeach, ain ma'akvin v'hu shalo yifchos me'am alam b'rom shalosh amos. It's not ma'akev as long as you make sure that it's not less than an amim by a height of 3 amos. So the Achronim asks that he says to himself that in Halacha Gimel he says ain lahosif alagroa, and then in Halacha Yitzayin he says ain ma'akvin. It's no problem. It's not ma'akev no matter what size you make it. So the Chiddush Rabbi Yaleib, he writes that the issur that we learn from the pasuk hakol b'ksav, that everything has to be precise, everything has to be exactly as God dictates in the Beis HaMikdash, that's true of the Midos and the Tzura of the Mikdash itself. But that is not true of the clay HaMikdash. Let's say a person wants to make a little model of the Beis HaMikdash. Is there a violation of making a model of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Chacham Tzvi writes in a tshuva, there is a violation to make a model of the menorah. You're not allowed to make a menorah that has 7 branches. That's because you're not allowed to make kelim of the tzura of the Mikdash. What about a miniature model of the Beis HaMikdash? He says that's no problem. Why? Because when it comes because of exactly this yisod, when it comes to the pasuk of Hakol B'Ksav, that everything has to be precise, that's only true of the Mikdash itself. When it comes to the clay HaMikdash, not everything needs to be perfectly precise, even for it to function in the Beis HaMikdash. So when it comes to the Isser of us making a Tavnis HaMikdash, of us making a model, so they would follow those same rules. When it comes to making a model of the actual Makom, so then it's only a problem, it's only an Isser, if it's exactly precise. When it comes to making the Kelim, it's an Isser even if the size is off. The Pesach Tshuva quotes in Yardei that even if you make a menorah that has seven branches and the branches aren't even aligned perfectly, which in the Beis HaMikdash they were, even that would be an Isser. But anyway, the Mizbeach HaChitzon is different than all other Kli Shareis, because the Mizbeach HaChitzon is also Mechubar LeKarka. It's Mechubar to the Admas Kodesh of the Beis HaMikdash. So it becomes part of the Mikdash itself. So it turns out that there are Tzvei Dinim in Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is both part of the Mikdash, as well as a Klei HaMikdash. So that's how Rabbi Leib wants to be Metari to the Rambam. That when the Rambam says that it has to be precise, that it has to be perfect, he's saying Midinei Mikdash Atz. The Mizbeach as a part of the Mikdash itself has to be perfect, but as a part of Klei HaMikdash, as one of the Klei HaMikdash, then the size is not going to be Ma'akev, then it will be Kasher even if it were not perfect. The other issue that the Rishonim deal with, Tosos and Maseches Vachim deal with, is the Mishnah in Shavuos, and the first Mishnah Maseches Sanhedrin talks about being Mosif Al-Ha'ir V'al Ha'azaros, one of the things you need Sanhedrin HaGadol for is if you want to add to the Azaros, you want to add to different rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean add to different rooms in the Beis HaMikdash? Kol B'Ksav, everything has to be exactly precisely sized. How can you add to different rooms in the Beis HaMikdash? So that's what some of the Achronim suggest, that maybe Tosus really suggests, that you're allowed to be Mosif Al-Ir V'al Azaros, because when you can only do that, it's not randomly that they could just decide to add to the Azaros. If they find a Pasuk that indicates that they're allowed to, and that they misunderstood originally what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants, and there's a Pasuk that indicates that maybe there could be a larger area or a new binyan, that's what you could do. That's the sugi at the end of Masechet Sukkah. In the fifth part of Masechet Sukkah, at the very end of Masechet Sukkah, is the source in Shas for building a mechitza. What did they do? They built a balcony for the women by the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Well, how can you just build a balcony in the Beis HaMikdash? You know, they just add things to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, no, they found a Pasuk that they had to build a Gzustra Lenashim. So finding a Pasuk is critical. That's when you're allowed to add. Without the Pasuk, you're not allowed to add. One other quick ha'ar over here, in the Sefer Mikdash David, he has a suffix where they bring the Evarim on the Kevesh, so we said it's an Avoda in our Gemara. So is it, which Avoda? Is that the Hemshech of Holacha, of the Holacha of the Karban to the Mizbeach? Or maybe it is the beginning of the Avodas HaHaktara, that when you bring it up the ramp, that's the beginning of the Haktara. So he brings a Raya from our Sugya, that if you're not Mevatel the Melech, you're not Mevatel the salt on the Kevesh, so then the salt becomes a chatzitza. So the Gemara says that we're talking about halachas evarim, which is not an avoda, and therefore chatzitza would not passel. So it sounds like halachas evarim agabi kevesh is included in halacha, that it's not included in avodas haktara, because avodas haktara, the Gemara never would have had a havamina, it's not an avoda. Haktara is an avoda gemura, and the melech would definitely be a chatzitza. Halacha is a little bit less of an avoda than haktara is, because halacha is just transferring from one place to the other. It's not as qualitatively as a significant an avoda. So the havamin only makes sense if you assume that bringing the item, the evarim up the ramp is considered an extension of the halacha and not the beginning of the haktara. Okay, weiter. Dorash Rav, chatzer shen eskalkala b'mei megishamim, maybe tevin imradah, but that if you have a chatzer that has been ruined by rainwater, so you can spread tevin out on the floor. Amar le Rav Papa l'Rava, v'atani k'shum radeh en imradah lo b'sav lo b'kuvel b'shuli kupa, that when you do this, you have to do it with a shinoi, with the back of the basket, you have to spread it out. So Hadarukim Rava Amora Ale Vidarash Dvarm Sharmati Lefnechem Talos Hein Biyadi. So Rava retracted. He said, I made a mistake. Baram Kachar Mishum Rav Lozuk Kishum Rade in Amarada Lo Besav Lo Bekupa El Besholi Kupa. That really, at first he thought it was mutter to spread straw on a slippery chatzar after the rain on Shabbos, but after being questioned, he acknowledged he made a mistake. It can only be spread with a shinoi, in an unusual way. Mimalin mi baragolin. The Mishnah then went on to say that you could be mimale water using a wheel from the bar hagola, from a certain bar that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara seems like it starts an entirely different conversation that has nothing to do with that, but we're going to use our Mishnah as the fourth raya, or the fourth kasha in this conversation. So essentially what we're going to do is we're going to tell a story from Ula about Hashma Askol. We're going to bring four rayas, and the fourth raya is going to be from Mishnah. Ula ikla lebe Rav Menashe. Ula went to Rav Menashe's house. Asahu gavra taraf ababa. So a guy comes and starts knocking on the door. Amar, my hai, liskul gufe de kamachal el shabata. So Ula gets all upset. What's this guy doing? He's knocking on the door. He's being machal Shabbos. Amar le rabba lo asra le kol shal shir. What are you talking about machal Shabbos? It's only asra to make musical sounds. Knocking on the door is not a musical sound. That's perfectly permissible. So here you have machlokas. Ula and rabba. Ula sounds like he understood that it was a musical sound, but he thought it was asra anyway. So Ula thinks any Hashma Askol is a problem, and Rabbah does not think that it's a problem unless it's a kol shel shir. So the Gemara says four kashas. Esve Abaye, so four challenges to Rabbah's opinion. Again, Rabbah's one that said only kol shel shir is a problem. We're going to have four sources where it seems that even non kol shel shir is a problem. So raya number one. Esve Abaye, malin b'diofi matifin miyarek l'cholo b'shabbos. You're allowed to set up a system of making water to drip from a kli onto a metal plate to make noise on Shabbos for the sake of a chola, but l'chola in l'barilo, but only for the sake of a chola, not for a healthy person. Seichid dami, what kind of noise is this? Lav dinim v'kabayil delitar, isn't this just an alarm clock that someone's sleeping and we just want to make noise to wake him up, so it's not musical at all, it's just pounding noise, water dripping on metal that will keep him up, that will wake him up. Shmamino ludi kola aser, so you see that even non-musical noise is aser. Says Gemara, that's a bad raya lo, detir v'kabayil delenim, no, it's a musical sound that's not meant to wake him up, it's meant to put him to sleep. He's awake and you want the chola to be able to sleep, so you're allowed to set this up for a chola, but not for a regular person. Raya number two, Esve Hamashamer Peros of Mnei Ha'ofos. If a person is guarding his fruit from birds, Udala of Mipnei Hachayim, he's guarding his gourds from wild animals, Meshamer Kedarko B'Shabbos. He could guard in the normal way on Shabbos. Oblivaj Shlo Yisapik V'lo Yitapik V'lo Yirakit Kedarok Shein Olsen B'chol. As long as he doesn't clap or beat his chest or dance around like you would on a weekday. So my time, Lav the Kamolid Kola V'kolulid Kola Asir. Why aren't you allowed to clap or beat your chest? Isn't it because it's making a noise and it's a non-musical noise and yet you still see that it's aser? So Ravacha Bar Yaakov Gzeira Shami Yitol Tzrar. No, the reason you're not allowed to do this is because we're afraid you're going to pick up a rock and throw it into the Rishus Rabin. That's the issue over here. It's not about the noise per se. This isn't a noise issue at all, so it's not a good raya at all. Raya number three. Ve'ala Hadar Mavidam Rav Nashim Amasachos Be'agozim Aser. Women are not allowed to play a game with nuts on Shabbos. My Taima. Why are they not allowed to play this game? La'avdu Kamolid Kolav Kolaludik Kala Asir, isn't it because it's making noise and any noise making, even if it's not musical, is Asir? Says, well, lo, Dilma Asir Lashvi Gumos. Maybe the issue is not the noise, it's that when they roll the nuts on the floor, it's going to be Mashva Gumos, it's going to land in holes in the ground, and it's going to be Mosav Alabinyan, it's going to be a violation of Bona. Tilote Mahachi, Hadam Ravido Nashu Mesachos Bitapuchim Asir, Hasam Mayalu de Kala Ika. If we say that women are allowed to play with Tapuchim, so they are not allowed to play rather with tapuchim, there's no noise that's made by them. Unlike nuts, they don't have a hard shell that makes a noise. So what would the Isser be? So the Isser must be one of being mashva gumos and not an Isser of a ludekala. So why do we quote this whole story about a ludekala? Because the fourth raya, Tanan, Mimalin Mibara Golem Mibara Gadol Begilgal Beshabbos Bemigdash In Bemedina Lo. Our Mishnah says that in the Migdash they're allowed to fill up the water using a wheel from these certain wells, but not b'Medina. My time alav mishum dolu dekala va'asir. Why can't they do it b'Medina? Isn't it because it makes a noise, a non-musical noise, and even a non-musical noise is asir? Says Maralov, gzera shami yamalu l'ginasa l'chorvasa. No, the issue over there is that we're worried he's going to draw water to irrigate his plants. And that's the problem. But if you had a place that had no plants, where there were no plants, then maybe in Echinami, even Vimedina, you'd be allowed to fill up the water. And that's why Amemar Shara Lemimla Begalil B'Machuza. Amemar allowed using this wheel to fill up the water in Machuza. Amar, and he explained, my time ago, Rabbanon, Shami Yamalu Ginosu L'Churvaso, Hacha Loginiikav L'Churvaika. The whole problem is that you might fill up the water to water your plants in your garden or in your churva. But there are no Ginos or Churvas over here. We live in Manhattan. There's no gardens. There's nowhere to plant anything. So yeah, there's no concern. So Kivan de Kachaza de Kataru Bakisna Asalu. But once he saw that they had flax that they were planting, so then he made it Asur because he realized that they were drawing the water to be able to water the flax plants, and therefore he realized that just his Metzius was wrong, that there was something that they would be able to use the water for that would be Asur, and therefore he Asur'd it. But that just reinforces the point that Bagilgal b'Medina is only Asr because of this concern, not of Hashma'as Kol, but the concern that you're going to use it to irrigate something. So what are we passing at the end of the day? We had a machlokas whether Hashma'as Kol without a musical tone is a problem or not. So Tosos quotes a machlokas Rishonim had a paskin la alacha. Dibra maskel hachi garis quotes a machlokas Rishonim. Rabbeinu Chananel holds la alacha we paskin like ula that any olodas kol is asur even if it's not musical. And even though Rabbah was able to be metarets every single challenge that we asked on him, he says yeah, but why would we somech on terutzin? It seems if you have four rayas, so even though there's an answer to each of the four rayas, but still the impression you get from the overwhelming number of rayos is that it's a problem. The Rif and Rabbi Yehuda bar Barzilai hold that the halacha is like Rabbah, that only kol shel shir is aser, because Rav Acha bar Yaakov's mitaritz every single kasha that they threw at him. Plus, a Meimar of a later generation also held that way, that it's not a problem of Hashma'as Kol. And that's why a Meimar allowed using this wheel to fill up the water, even by Medina, when there were no plants. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rif, like Rabbah, that only Hashma'as Kol shel shir is aser. If it's not kol shel shir, it's mutar. In the Be'er Agroi says, however, that we should pass like Rabbeinu Chananel, that any Allah does call is Asr, and the Yerushalmi seems to assume it's a Isra as well. Be'er Halacha, however, says that our minhag is to go like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Gra, and therefore it is mutter when you make a call that's not musical, that doesn't have a beat, that doesn't have a... So whatever clapping we do is only if you're... for me, it's totally mutter to clap. I can't make a beat no matter what. I'm totally tone deaf. But for regular people, that type of... Only something that makes a beat or a musical sound, only that is going to be usher. There is a question about a door knocker. The Agur writes that it's usher to be makish and the Beis Yosef quotes this in Simon Shin Lamed Ches. Beis Yosef says, I know he says it, but I don't understand. If it doesn't make a musical sound, it's just there to make noise, so who cares that it's a kli miyuchad dekach, that it's miyuchad for making noise? If you're passing like Rabbah, that only a kol shir is aser, even if it's a kli miyuchad the Hashma'as Kol, it should be mutter. So the Achronim try to figure out why this would be aser to use a door knocker on Shabbos. So they do seem to assume that it is usher. Beis Yosef seems to assume that it is usher. He just has to figure out why. So in Bir Alach, he suggests the reason is it's because of Uvda Duchal. Whenever you're in doubt, that's always the easiest way to go. Uvda Duchal, because the gather of Uvda Duchal, what's called a weekday activity, what's not called a weekday activity, is very difficult to define. So Uvda Duchal, that's what it is, that it's a problem of Uvda Duchal to use a door knocker. But there are other suggestions that the Achronim have as well of what the issue is. It doesn't seem that it's a violation of Hashma'as Kol. Maybe it's because they're Shemi Yisake and they're going to come to fix it. Something like that. Why? What makes a muktzah is something that you can't use on Shabbos. So why can't you use it on Shabbos?
Yeah, but if you use a guitar to knock on somebody's door, even if you
this isn't a guitar, it's a door knocker. So it's a guitar.
It's used to make noise.
Yeah, but again, making noise is mutter. It's just making musical noise is usher. So guitar is muktzah, but door knocker. So okay, anyway, that's the question the Achronim have. The Re'im writes that by Tekiya Shofar on Shabbos, aside from the Gezeres Rabbah, that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chavtas Mbeis says, Shemi Yavir Nadal Ram Shus Rabbim, Tekiya Shofar, you can't do on Shabbos for another reason, is because of Hashma'as Kol, that you're making musical sound, and therefore it's usher on Shabbos. So the Taz raises the Kasha, he says, I don't understand. If that's the case, then even without the Gezeirah's Rabbah, it's Kiyah Shofar Shurib and Asa, because the Gezeirah Shem is like in Klishir. So what was Rabbah's Gezeirah? If it's part of the Mesapkin, the Tapkin, the Merakdin, if it's included in that Gezeirah. So the Taz has two Terutim, the second of which is a very, very famous Teretz, where the Taz says that the Gezeirah Shem Yisag and Klishir is Shaykh even on Yontif, and they never could have made such a Gezeirah to outlaw Tkiyah Shofar entirely on Shabbos and Yontif, because you can't, the Rabbanon are limited in their power. They cannot make a Gezeirah that's going to totally uproot a Din D'Oraisa. When the Torah says you got to blow Shofar, the Rabbanon can't say, no, you don't blow Shofar. They can say, don't do it on Shabbos, but they can't say you don't blow Shofar entirely. So that's why they never could have included the Gezeirah Shem Yisag and Klishir. Let's see, Vait. My Be'erakar, Mi Be'erakar, we said that they filled from the Be'erakar. What is that? It's a bar that they met by and they were matir certain things. Meisve loka, a certain bar, a well-known bar that they had. Meisve loka labar sakar sitiro zulbulvad. They only allowed filling from this particular bar. Vi amrche hikru dvarmala maizulbulvad. But if there was nothing special about this bar other than an event that happened there that they happened to have met over there, then why is it that you're only allowed to fill from this bar? Elam rav Nachman bar Yitzchok be'er mayim chayim. No, it's a wellspring. It's a living spring. Shenemar keakir bir me meha. Gufa lo kalabaros hakaros hitiru el zubul vad. Not every bar was mutter, it was just this one. Ukshaalu bnei hagola chanu al deha unavim shebineim hitiru lehen velo navim shebineim el minagav sem biyadeim. That when they came back, for the bnei hagola came back, they rested by it, and the navim were matir, and it's not really navim, it means minagav sem biyadeim, that they held that it was mutter to fill up from this be'er on Shabbos. Tomorrow we will do the last Mishnah and finish up the Masechta. We fell behind on purpose, so we have enough to fill 45 minutes for tomorrow.